ABC Radio Australia.
When Australian mining giant Rio Tinto fired off explosives in Western Australia's Juukan Gorge in May this year, it sent shockwaves around the world. That's because Rio Tinto itself was in the firing line as it had destroyed 46,000-year-old indigenous caves in the process. Late last week, three of Rio Tinto's top execs, including the chief executive, were removed from the company over an ongoing lack of accountability. Liberal MP Warren Entscht is the chair of a parliamentary committee examining Rio Tinto's destruction of the rock shelters at Juukan Gorge.
If they know, and I suspect that they do know, that there are cultural sites or historical sites that are at risk, for goodness sake, do the right thing and stop any element of destruction. But I think what's happened with Juukan is going to make sure that people will look at this very, very closely, because if they go ahead, as has happened in Rio's case, there is going to be serious consequences.
Now, for decades, the people of Bougainville have also been calling for accountability from Rio Tinto, which was the parent company of Bougainville Copper Limited. In the 1970s and 80s, the Panguna mine was considered the company's jewel in the crown. But anger over lost royalties led not only to a bloody civil war, but environmental and health impacts that were still being felt in the country today. 4 years ago, Rio Tinto walked away from the Panguna mine, transferring its BCL shares to the Papua New Guinea and Bougainville governments. But if the mining giant does want to seem more accountable, then what could it do to make amends in Bougainville? Talia Olatia spoke with Dr. Fulker Berger, who is the co-director of the Peace and Conflict Studies Institute Australia, and started by asking his reaction when he learnt the three of Rio Tinto's top execs had been removed.
I was relieved, finally, I thought to myself, because what they had done before was definitely not good enough. And so I think that's a good first step for Rio Tinto to reflect on their relationships with communities, not only in Australia, but also in other parts of the world where they have been operating or where they are still operating.
Now, given Rio Tinto's relationship with Bougainville's Panguna mine and, you know, this new leaf of accountability that they're turning over, would you like to see that extended to the people of Bougainville, and how would you like to see it extended?
Definitely. And more importantly, the Bougainvillean people would like Rio Tinto to come back to the table and to address the issues that Rio Tinto left behind when they abandoned the mine. I think there is an obligation of Rio Tinto, although, as you know, the mine has been closed for a long time already. But while the mine was operating in the 70s and 80s, and Rio Tinto was the majority shareholder and in charge, the mine caused enormous environmental degradation, and which the people in the mine-affected areas still suffer from today. And so when Rio Tinto walked away in June 2016, they at the same time said, this means we do not have any responsibility whatsoever for cleaning up the mess that was caused by the mine. And this did not go down well with the Bougainville population, and also not when the government and the churches there, and they demanded from Rio Tinto to come back and to contribute to cleaning up the mess. And so far, Rio Tinto is not willing to do that. And I'm also talking about the cultural and spiritual effects of the mine. As you know, the land-people connection for Pacific Island people is very close. So there's no distinction between land and people. And so destruction of land also has an enormous spiritual and cultural impact on the well-being of the people. And you can still see that and hear that today.
And it just goes to show those lasting impacts that, as you were saying, are not just environmental and health, but also the cultural impacts and the legacy that created. At the start of the year, Australia's Human Rights Law Centre looked into Rio Tinto's legacy, and they said that there were issues that still needed to be addressed. But like you said, 4 years ago, Rio Tinto walked away from the mine once and for all. So do you think that there's even a chance that they would come back into the picture and address, you know, the problems that they've left behind in Bougainville?
I'm not sure. I would wish they would come back. And as I said, the political elite and the people in Bougainville definitely want them to come back. And maybe there is a chance now that Rio Tinto is aware of the issues that can be caused by the behavior they showed in the Juukan Gorge saga, that there is more willingness in a new generation in Rio Tinto, so to speak, to also come back and address the legacy issues in places like the Panguna mine in Bougainville. I would not say that this is impossible, but it's a big challenge. And one thing that's really interesting is that at the moment the elections are on in Bougainville. And the first woman who was elected in these elections is Sianila Roca Matbob, who is representing the Euro constituency, which is in the area of the Panguna mine. And Sianila, for a long time, has been an outspoken critic of Rio Tinto. So it's interesting that the people in this mine-affected area put in a woman, and they voted in a critic of the mine and Rio Tinto.
Finally, we know that the Pacific is very resource rich. Last week, we heard how Australian mining company New Century Resources chose to walk away from their bid to take over the Goro nickel and cobalt mine. And nickel mining negotiations are also currently taking place in the Solomon Islands. So what lessons do you think other mining companies are taking from what's happening to Rio Tinto right now when it comes to accountability and doing what is in the best interest of all people, but especially the indigenous people of those places where they're going to mine?
Yeah, I think it's not good enough to just pay lip service to things like community engagement and community relations and respect. You have to walk the talk. And this is what Rio Tinto had to learn. And I think that the Bougainville-Panguna case is always presented by big mining companies as a case where they have actually learned from, but at the end of the day, they have not learned enough. They have, for instance, not learned to properly address the cultural and spiritual dimensions of the relationships between companies and affected communities. And I think there's often a marginalization or not really understanding what the spiritual and cultural aspects actually mean for the people on the ground. And this is very easy when you come from a more secular Western, so-called enlightened environment, that you do not really take seriously enough these dimensions. And sacred sites are not of major importance for the indigenous peoples here in Australia, but definitely also for the people in Bougainville and other places in the Pacific.